Sorry, dear Turbo, we saw Alan Beagle.
Okay.
Towards the beginning of the Golus Bavel, after the first Churban Beis HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, set up a very tall tselem. There, in the Gemara says, it was in a place called Bikas Dura, in Bavel. That's where he set up a very tall Avodah Zarah. And he demanded and required that every single person there should come along and bow down to this Avodah Zarah. There were three Yidan living in Bavel at that time, three big tzaddikim. They were also very high ministers by Nebuchadnezzar in the palace of the king. They were called Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they decided, we're not going to bow down to this tselem, to this Avodah Zarah. And so rather, they let themselves be thrown into this big fire, into a fiery furnace, rather than bowing down to this Avodah Zarah. And the Medrash describes how first Rebbeinu Shlom said, told Yecheskel the Novi, who was a Novi there at that time, he's not going to save these three tzaddikim. And they said, Ava Pikein, even so, we're still going to rather allow ourselves be killed at Kiddush Hashem than throwing ourselves into the fire. And that's exactly what happened. They didn't bow down. Nebuchadnezzar took them and threw them into this fiery furnace. Maisie, they did get saved in the end, because Hashem wanted them to do it from their own will, not knowing, sort of relying on a nest. Hashem did save them in the end, and that's how Maisie, they didn't bow down to it and they got saved from the fire. There's a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daphne Gimel Amabes, tells us that what gave Hananiah, the Gemara asks, what gave Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah the inspiration to taka be Moisa Nefesh over here? Now, even though it wasn't Avodah Zarah, and we would expect that the Gemara should say that what gave them the inspiration to be Moisa Nefesh, they should rather let themselves be thrown into the fire because it's one of the Gimel Avodah Chamuras. It's one of the three cardinal sins that the Avodah Zarah, Gila Arayas, and Shrichas Damim, that one of those mitzvahs, of course a person has to rather let himself be Moisa Nefesh and then to be over this Avira. But the Gemara doesn't say that. And the Gemara tells us that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah saw a pasuk in this week's parasha. They saw the pasuk by the Tzfaradeah. By the Tzfaradeah, it says, the pasuk says, that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Paro, you must let Klal Yisrael go out from Mitzrayim. And because if not, then your whole land will be covered in frogs, in Tzfaradeah, in frogs. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu told him they will come out from the Nilus, they'll come out from the Yair, they'll spread around the entire country. They will go inside the people and inside the house, everywhere they will go. And the pasuk finishes off over Sanurecha, over Mishare Secha. They'll go inside the ovens and inside the doughs, everywhere they will go. So the Gemara explains, when it says they're going inside the ovens, it doesn't mean that when the ovens were off. It means when the ovens were hot. The Gemara dashes it out from the pasuk, when the fire was burning in the oven. These frogs, they went and they jumped inside the fire into the oven. So Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah thought, we've got to learn something from these frogs. We haven't done episode learning from Zay. If they made a kavachimer, if already the frogs, they don't have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Frog is a frog. He doesn't have a mitzvah to sort of be moist and nefesh for anything. He doesn't have a mitzvah to do the rotz and Hashem. A frog behaves like a frog. He does what he wants. There's no rhyme or reason for anything he does. But still, we see that they jumped into the fire to do the rotz and Hashem over here. Because normally, frogs keep far away from fire. Frogs is an animal that jumps down by water. I mean, any animal by nature keeps the distance from fire. It's a danger. They feel it's a danger. A natural thing. They feel it's a danger and they keep far away. But the frog, over here, they went because they knew that it was a rotz and Hashem and to bring out the kavod shamayim and to be mekadesh shem Hashem. And Hashem said that they're going to do this. And the frogs, taka, did this. They went, even though they didn't have a mitzvah to do it at all, they still jumped into the fire. us, we said Hanani Mishael Azariah, we've got a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. We've always got a mitzvah to sanctify the name of Hashem and to listen to Him. So Avad, of course, we've got a mitzvah here to go and rather let ourselves be killed than to serve this Avodah Zarah. Now the question is obvious. What do Hanani Mishael Azariah need to go to this whole lesson here from the frogs, make a whole new lesson from the frogs? There's a very, we all know, there's, like we mentioned before, there's a very basic mitzvah. We know that, but every mitzvah, the halacha is, you should rather sort of be over on the mitzvah rather than let a person let himself be killed. Besides by three mitzvahs, by Avodah Zarah, Gila Arayis, and Shrichas Damim, by Znos and Shrichas, killing someone, these three mitzvahs, the Gemara learns out from a positive, a person should rather let himself be killed than be over any of these mitzvahs. So here's the Navir of Avodah Zarah. So why do Hanani Mishael Azariah need to come at a whole lesson from the frogs? Poshut, this is one of the Gimel Averis Chamuras, it's one of the three cardinal sins which a person has to be Moser Nefesh for. So why are they coming along here with a whole new drasha from the frogs? This is something which we would like to understand and what the Gemara is saying. So if we look at Rashi over here on the Gemara, Rashi says, no, do you know why the over here it doesn't apply the normal rules of Mesiras Nefesh? Rashi says, because we've got a drasha of V'chai Bohem. V'chai Bohem means that if a person needs to do a mitzvah or something like that, but it's going to be at a risk to his life, so the Torah says, don't do that mitzvah, rather I want you to stay alive. L'moshul, let's say, Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. For if a person has a mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, a life-threatening danger on Shabbos, so then even if he has to be Mechal Shabbos, the Torah says it's preferable that he should be Mechal Shabbos, rather than say, no, I'm not going to Mechal Shabbos, but then could be he might die. The Torah says, V'chai Bohem. There's a mitzvah, rather be over on this mitzvah than you should give up your life. Hashem says, I want you to stay alive. I want you to carry on doing your mitzvahs. Even if it means giving up on this one mitzvah, that the Torah says, V'chai Bohem. Rashi quotes the V'chai Bohem and applies it to our Gemara over here. So now what does Rashi mean? How does V'chai Bohem fit in over here? So the Marashah explains that there is a machloka. We all know, as we just mentioned, that there's, when it comes to the Gimel Averis Chamuras, you have to be Moser Nefesh. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says it's not so simple. There is a shitta there, the shitta of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds, not in every case by Avodah Zarah Al-Kaponim, says Rabbi Shmuel, not by every case you have to be Moser Nefesh, you have to give up your life. Rabbi Shmuel says it depends. If it's Befehesia or if it's Betsina. If it's Befehesia, which means if it's in a public setting, says Rabbi Shmuel, that's when if a guy comes up to someone, puts a gun to his head, in a very loads of people are around, Befehesia, and says, bow down to this Avodah Zarah, and if you don't, then I'm going to shoot you, says Rabbi Shmuel, that's when it applies the halacha that a person should rather let himself be killed than serve the Avodah Zarah. It's Befehesia, it's in a public setting. And so that's, but Zog Rabbi Shmuel, if it's but sinner, if it's in a private setting, Rabbi Shmuel, this is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that a person should rather serve Avodah Zarah than let himself be killed. Rabbi Shmuel quotes this pasuk of V'chai Bohem on this scenario over here. In the case, again, when it's in a case of Betsina, when it's in a private setting, there's no one else around, just the goy and the yid together, and the goy comes over to yid and says, bow down to this Avodah Zarah, otherwise I'm going to shoot you. So if it's Betsina, which means it's a private setting, it's not Befehesia, it's not the whole public, just him and the goy together, holds Rabbi Shmuel, a person should rather bow down to the Avodah Zarah than to let himself be killed. That is the shit of Rabbi Shmuel. So says the Marashah over here, and Rabbi Shmuel learns it out from the words of V'chai Bohem. Rabbi Shmuel says over here, in a case when it's Betsina, when it's in a private setting, Rabbi Shmuel says that's when it applies the rule of V'chai Bohem, and a person should rather bow down to Avodah Zarah, then let him be killed. That is the shit of Rabbi Shmuel. Says, explains Marashah, that's what Rashi wants to say over here. Rashi's explaining, V'chai Bohem, over here, Rashi's explaining, by Hanani and Mishael and Azariah, it was a case of Betsina. It was a case of private. Now, exactly what Betsina and Befehesia means, that is an, that's a whole nother shia, maybe another day, but that's a whole, it's a big machlok, exactly what does Betsina, how you magde, exactly what Betsina and what does Befehesia mean, how do you work out, because the Gemara actually says, the Gemara says about Esther, when she went with Ahasuerus, the Gemara there continues, said, "V'ha Esther b'fahesia havia." Esther was in public, so it means that when she went with Ahasuerus, that was b'fahesia. That wasn't selechoyah. That wasn't in public. So what does the Gemara mean? If you understand it with the simple meaning of public and private, choyah Esther was in private. So obviously, there's different meanings of b'fahesia and b'tzina. And Rashi over here is taking on that whatever the scenario was over there by Hanani, Mishal, and Azaria, Rashi says that would be a case of Betzina. That would be a case of in private. So therefore, Hanani, Mishal, and Azaria, really, the normal rules of Mesiras Nefesh, of when you're allowed to bow down to, of being Mesiras Nefesh for the three Averis Chamuras, of Rashi over here, it doesn't apply. Why not? Because it was a case of Betzina. It wasn't, by Hanani, Mishal, and Azaria, it was in a private setting. So it was maybe it was just them and Nebuchadnezzar, whatever it was, Rashi holds it was Betzina. So therefore says Rashi that over here the normal rules of the of Gimel Averis Chamuras don't apply over here. They had no mitzvah to be Moisa Nefesh, says Rashi. Really, they could have bowed down to this Avodah Zarah. And it was just because, so now they had the second thing. 1 minute. So really we can bow down to this Avodah Zarah, but 1 minute. We've got the limud from the frogs, from the Tzfadeh, and this is Pasha. The frogs also didn't have a mitzvah Mesiras Nefesh. They don't have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem at all. Frogs don't have any mitzvah. But still, we see the frogs went and they were Moisa Nefesh. The frogs went and they were Mekadesh in Shamayim. So if the frogs who never have a mitzvah Kiddush Hashem, they still were Moisa Nefesh. Kavachoma, as we call it, we usually do have a mitzvah Kiddush Hashem, even though now we don't have a mitzvah Kiddush Hashem, still we're going to go along and be Moisa Nefesh.
If he held the Kotor of Shmuel, so it's no riot, because that was the Pahesia of the frogs.
What, the frogs were the Fahesia?
Yeah, every single house.
Each one of them. Was the frogs were the Fahesia? I don't know.
They didn't have the ovens in their
boxes. No, it was in each person's private house. Yeah, no, no, yeah, okay. No, we don't pass them, Irish one. So, as I say, it's a very. We're going to see Tosas. Tosas argues with Rashi over here. Tosas, Agaponin, that's Shittas Rashi in the Gemara. That over here it was that they went, they could have really bowed down to this Avodah Zarah, but because it was Betzina, it was in a private setting, they were allowed to. So, therefore, they had to come on to the lesson from the frogs, which would tell me that there still is an inyan of being Moisa Nefesh, of bringing out Kiddush Hashem. That's what. How Rashi learns the Gemara. We've got, as I say, Tosas. Tosas argues completely with Rashi. Tosas completely doesn't agree with Rashi at all. Tosas says, I don't know why you're calling that a case of Betzina. Tosas, this is obviously a case of a Fahesia. But again, I mean, that's another machlokas, how to explain what exactly machlokas Rashi says here. Maybe we'll leave that for now. But Tosas completely argues with Rashi and says, over here was not a case of Betzina. Here was a case of a Fahesia. And Tosas said, obviously it was a case of a Fahesia. It was totally in public. It was in front of everyone. There were many other Yidden there, says Tosas, and so Tosas is not sure why Rashi is calling it a case of Betzina. Tosas wants to say, no, it's a case of Fahesia. So now, so we're back to the first kasha. If it's Fahesia, therefore even Rabbi Shmuel agrees that over here you have to be Moisa Nefesh, you're not allowed to bow down to this Avodah Zarah. So again, we've got the kasha back. Why did Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah need to come on to this whole lesson from the frogs? Poshut, it was Fahesia, it was in public, yet not, you have to be Moisa Nefesh, so they should be Moisa Nefesh. What's the issue? Why did they have to come on to saw a lesson from the frogs? Does. Oh, Gevaldik. That's exactly the point of Tosas. Tosas comes along too. Tosas is Mechadish over here, Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah? Tosas, Rabbeinu Tam in Tosas says that that it's not how we've been thinking till now, that it was a real Avodah Zarah. Tosas said this wasn't an Avodah Zarah at all. Mama Shazoi. Tosas says, Tosas calls it was an Andarata, which means a monument, a statue, something like that. It was something set up, called it to promote the covered of Nebuchadnezzar. That was the whole purpose of this, that everyone should see how powerful Nebuchadnezzar is, how strong he is, and what an important king he is. And so therefore, that's why Nebuchadnezzar set this up. It wasn't a real Avodah Zarah at all. So now, that answers the whole question. We ask, if it's an Avodah Zarah, it should be Moisa Nefesh. What are you coming on to the lesson of the frogs for? The answer is, says Rabbeinu Tam, that it wasn't an Avodah Zarah. Quite simple, it wasn't an Avodah Zarah over here. So forget all the halachas of non-Messias Nevesh, Gimel Avodah Chamuras doesn't apply over here. It wasn't an Avodah Zarah, says Rabbi Natan. It was a monument, that's all it was. Like when a peasant goes and bows down to a king, because they're covered for the king, he's allowed to do that. He's not serving Avodah Zarah and he bowed down when he gives it. Posh it. It's one of the acts of giving covered, giving respect to a king. That's what you do. So the same thing over here, says Rabbi Natan, this tall monument which he made, it was a monument, it was a statue, that's all it was. It wasn't an Avodah Zarah. Azay Zok Rabbi Natan. So the normal halachas of Avodah Zarah don't apply over here. They were allowed to, it wasn't any halacha mesir, they were allowed to bow down to it. But still, that's where the lesson from the frogs comes in. Even though there's no halacha over here of being Maisa Nefesh, but still, just like the frogs didn't have any mitzvah of being Maisa Nefesh, and still of bringing out Kavod Shemayim in any way, of sanctifying the name of Hashem in any way, they don't have a mitzvah of that. Still, they were Maisa Nefesh and they jumped into the ovens. So to us, even though over here there's no mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, why? Because it's not a real Avodah Zarah at all. So therefore, but still, we're going to learn that from the frog, we're still going to go along and be Maisa Nefesh to sanctify the name. Because Nebuchadnezzar is doing this to promote his covered, we're not going to do anything like that. We're rather going to say, no, we're only bowing down to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Maybe we'll come back to that at the end. Okay? You're asking how can they decide if there's a mitzvah Chaybahem versus a mitzvah Kiddush Hashem? How can they? Are they allowed to be Moshe Nefesh at all? Maybe we'll Bez Hashem will discuss that at the end. Okay. So
you've got a frog, you've got no bit of mitzvahs at all. And they can learn, teach Torah, more Torah.
Even more so. He's saying they should stick to the V'chaibahem.
Correct.
They did have reasons here why Taka they did so. But Beis Hashem, we'll get there at the end. So that's what. So basically, over here we've got Machlekes Rashi and Rabbi Natan. Was it a real Avodah Zarah or it wasn't a real Avodah Zarah? Rashi learns that it was a real Avodah Zarah. Just over here, really, how the mitzvah of V'chai Bahem applies. Just because it was Betzina, it wasn't a private setting. But over here, they still decided, for whatever reason, they still decided we want to learn a Kal V'chomer from the frogs, and therefore they were Moshe Nefesh. Rabbi Natan learns, no, it wasn't a real Avodah Zarah. And therefore, all the Gimel Avodah Zarah, that doesn't apply over here. And all it is that because they had the lesson from the frogs, that's why they had to be Moshe Nefesh. So Rabbi Natan brings two rayas to this. Rabbi Natan brings one raya from a pasuk in Daniel, where they said to Nebuchadnezzar that le'elohach les anar polchin, or le'tzalma didach lo niskoid, which means that to your God, to your Avodah Zarah, we're not going to bow down. And to this Selem over here, we're also not going to bow down. So Rabbi Natan says, because we see that they're speaking that just like we're not going to bow down to your own personal Avodah Zarah, so too this Selem over here, we're also not going to bow down. So Rabbi Natan says, if it was an Avodah Zarah, why are they saying two different things? It was all an Avodah Zarah. Just say to you, Avodah Zarah, we're not bowing down. That's one raya Rabbi Natan brings. And Rabbi Natan brings a second raya. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah which says, when Mashiach comes, then all the Goyim themselves are going to come along and they're going to be made how the Yidden kept all the mitzvahs and they weren't even any Averas. So we're going to have all the grace of Goyim are going to come. Nimrod, he's going to come. And Nimrod is going to say, yes, I'll be made. Avram Avino did not save Avodah Zarah. Because, yes, by me, he didn't bow down to Avodah Zarah. He rather jumped into the fire. That's what Nimrod is going to say. And then the Gemara continues. Lavan is going to say, yes, I know that Yaakov Avino didn't steal. I tricked him 100 times. That's what I did. But I know that Yaakov Avino never stole anything. And Eshes Potiphar is going to come along and say, I know Yosef didn't do Znos. Each one is going to come along. The Gemara continues. And Gemara says, Hananiah, that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come along and say that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah didn't bow down to the Tselem. So Rabbi Natan points out that by Avraham Avinu it says Lashon of Avodah Zarah. By Hanani Meshav Azariah, it says Lashon of Tselem. If it was both Avodah Zarah, says Rabbi Natan, why is the Gemara changing? It was all Avodah Zarah. Elamai, says Rabbi Natan, that no, over here, there were, what, by Avraham Avinu, by Nimrod Taka, that was an Avodah Zarah, but that's what he's bringing a Raya from this Gemara over here. But by Nebuchadnezzar, Hanani Meshav Azariah, all it was just a Tselem. It wasn't a real Avodah Zarah, and therefore they didn't have to be Mesa Nevesh, besides for the lesson from the Tzfadea. So that's what the second Raya Rabbi Natan is. So now, let's try and understand a little bit. What was the reason why Nebuchadnezzar set up this Tselem? Then maybe we might say in the Mefarshim, it's Mevor, two reasons why he set up, and we'll see if it's in very geschmack with these two Mahalchim over here, what Nebuchadnezzar wanted. So the Pasuk in Daniel describes how one night Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he dreamt a whole dream. He wakes up in the morning, and the pasuk is there, like Rashi quotes in Parshas Miketz, that tis poem ruchi, the Gemara says, the pasuk in Daniel says, that his heart was beating very wildly, and by paroi only says one lot, that ti poem ruchi, only one, because paroi, as Rashi said, remembered the dream, but just he didn't know the interpretation of the dream. Nebuchadnezzar, he not only didn't know the interpretation, he even forgot the dream. He didn't remember what the dream, but he remembered he had some fascinating, powerful dream, and he got him very nervous, but he couldn't remember what the dream was and didn't know the interpretation of it. The next morning, Nebuchadnezzar calls in for all the Chachmi Bavel, the grace of Chachamim of Bavel, and he says to them, I want you to remind me what my dream was, and I want you to tell me the interpretation of it. So they say, I don't know what you want from us. We don't remember our own dreams. How are we supposed to remember your dream? I mean, we don't know what's going on in your mind. So Nebuchadnezzar wasn't too happy with them. He said, you're supposed to be Chachamim, aren't you? Come on, let's hear the dream. So they said, we can't tell you that. And they looked at him, you're so foolish, Nebuchadnezzar. Why are you expecting us to know what dream you dreamt? Nebuchadnezzar got very upset with them, and he ordered the entire lot of them, all of them, to be killed. Besides Daniel, he was one of the Chachmi Bavel, and he begged from the royal executioner, says, please give me one night, and I'm going to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he should give me a nevuah, what exactly was going on here. So he said, okay then, that night Hashem showed to Daniel what the dream was, and what the interpretation was. So the next morning, he comes into Nebuchadnezzar, and he tells him, that this was your dream. You dreamt that you saw a huge tall tselem, 60 amas high by 6 amas wide. A big tall tselem you saw there. The head of it was made out of gold. The next part of it, lower down, was made out of silver. Lower down was made out of copper. And so on and so forth, metal, all different types of materials it was made out of. This was a dream that you had. And then at the end of it, a little stone came along and smashed down the entire tselem, just like that. That was a dream that you dreamt. Someone can say, yes, I remember now. Yes, that's right. But what's the interpretation of it? So hot, Daniel gazakt. The interpretation of it is that you, Nebuchadnezzar, you're compared to the gold. You are, this is a marshal for all the malchias, all the kingdoms, which are going to be ruling over Klal Yisrael, ruling over the world until Mashiach comes. You know, you're gold. You're a very powerful and strong king. And you're the head, and that is what you are. Even though you are ruling over the entire world now, in a few years' time, another kingdom is going to come along, and they're going to take away the malchus from you. You're going to be kicked out of here, and they're going to take over. But they're not going to be so powerful. They're going to be like silver, and so on and so forth, all the way down at the Yom Hazeh, until where the malchus Yishmael, the malchus Edom, and that is. But eventually, Mashiach will come, and that's compared clearly, so it's like just a little stone, not anything big and powerful, and they will taka one day when Mashiach comes with Zecha, that should be to scale Kavod Shemaim across the entire world. That is what Daniel interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar, he thought, now, what am I going to do? So the Mefarshim explained, there was two ways how Nebuchadnezzar went now. One of the Mefarshim say that Nebuchadnezzar thought that I don't want the Yidden at the end. They're going to come along and topple over all the Malchiah. That's something I can't tolerate. I'm not going to stand for that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build a tall Avodah Zarah over here. Geshmak, it's exactly the same Avodah Zarah that was in my dream. I'm going to convince all the Yidden to bow down to this Avodah Zarah. And then I'll be mashal them. I'll cause them to sin. I'll be mashal them to do an Avera. And then Hashem will say, what? Not only when the Beis HaMikdash will say, you serve Avodah Zarah, even in Godless is serving Avodah Zarah. And he wanted that Hashem should totally give up with the Yidden. And then it will never happen that the Yidden will in any way conquer the world. That will never happen. Because once Rebbein Shem has given up with the Yidden, that is what Nebuchadnezzar wanted. And that's what he did. He set up an Avodah Zarah here. And he convinced all the Yidden and everyone, even all the Goyim as well, but his real intention was, the matara of it was, that the Yidden should come and bow down to this Avodah Zarah. There's another mahalach in why Nebuchadnezzar set up this tselem, that was nothing to do with the Yidden. Nebuchadnezzar thought, what, me? I'm going to remain the king for till the end of all the days. I don't want any kingdom should come along and uproot me from being the king. That's not something I can tolerate. And therefore, he sets up this tselem, but the Mepharshim say he made it entirely out of gold. He made the tall tselem totally out of gold. From the head till the toes, it was made entirely out of gold. And because that was promoting himself, because as we heard that in the interpretation of the dream, the head which was made out of gold, that was his. That was Nebuchadnezzar. So the Mepharshim say Nebuchadnezzar over here came along and he set up an entire tselem made all out of gold. Now the purpose of it wasn't for Avodah Zarah. All of it was to promote the greatness of Nebuchadnezzar. To show that Nebuchadnezzar, I am going to remain the king until the end. I'm going to remain in power. No one is going to take the reign away from me. I'm not going to let anyone do that. That's not going to happen. And then he got all the goyim of several goyim from every single nation. And they're going to bow down to this tselem over here. And they're going to show, yes, we're going to be machnia ourselves to you, Nebuchadnezzar. And yes, we're going to give in to you. You, Nebuchadnezzar, are going to remain in power until the end of days. So that's, again, so lefi the second mahalach, why Nebuchadnezzar set up this tselem, we're not going to do that with the Zara. All it was something sort of bring, it was, call it an andarata, like Rabbi, this fits in very nicely with Rabbi Notam, that according to Rabbi Notam, he set it up just to promote his cover. That's all he set it up for, and that's what he wanted over here. But again, according to the first Mahalach, why Nebuchadnezzar set this up was because he wanted Machshel Klal Yisrael, so that fits in very nicely, like Rashi, and what Rashi says, that he wanted to be machshel, that it was a real Avodah Zarah, and just he wanted to be machshel Klal Yisrael in serving Avodah Zarah. That is the two Malchim, and why Nebuchadnezzar set this up, and how it fits in with Rashi and Rabbi Notam. So that is the two Malchim in the Gemara over here. Now there's two Rayas from different Gemaras, and let's see if they're Raya to Rabbi Natam, or maybe to both, or to Rashi. Maybe we'll work through them and we'll see how it comes out. There's the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah says, Shalo Tamidov es Hashem v'yichai, mipnei ma nischaivu senein shal Yisrael kloya ba'isadoi. That the Talmidim or Rishim ben Yechai came along to the Rebbe Rishim ben Yechai and they asked, why were the Yidden Chai of Misa? Why? What was this by in the days of Haman? Haman came along and he made a whole gezerah, lehashmed laragel abides kol yodim. He wanted to wipe out all the Yidden. So they asked Rebbe, tell us, why were the Chai of Misa? What was this whole gezerah set up for? So Rishim ben Yechai said, no, you tell me yourself. So they said, maybe because they had Hana from the Suda of Achashverosh. So Rishim Echai said to them, so if so, it wasn't all the people, or not all the Yidim around the whole world, when Nene had Hana from the Suda of Achashverosh, only the Yidim from Shushan itself. So they said, no, so you tell us. So Rishim Echai said, because they sheishtachavu letzelem, they bowed down to the tselem. So now, Rashi explained, what is a tselem? So that we're talking about this tselem, the tselem on Nebuchadnezzar. In the early days of Golas Babel, the Yidden bowed down to this tselem over here, and that's why they were, that was, and since, that's why this whole gezerah was set up. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara has become massive. Panim Yishu B'davar. So why, basically, why would they let off the hook? Why did that? They deserve the punishment. What's going on? They should have been killed. Why Taka didn't they get the punishment? So the Gemara answers: Heim lo also ela lifnim, afa kadosh baruch hu lo also imaim ela lifnim. That because the whole reason why they did it was miyira, because they were terrified of Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't go along to the Avodah Zarah and say, "Yes, we're going to serve Avodah Zarah. We're all excited about this." That's not what they said. They knew if we don't bow down to this, then we are going to be punished. So, and we're going to be thrown into this fire. So that's why all the Yidden went and bowed down to it. So since it was only Miyira, Hashem also just got them scared. But when they did Tshuva, then Hashem was Moichel them from this Avira. That is what Adkan the Gemara. So let's go back. According to Rashi, we can understand this Gemara very well. It was a real Avodah Zarah. Hanani, Meshav, Azariah, they had their own reason, Tzina, whatever it was, but all the other Yidden, then they were definitely in public. That's not Shaila. So it was a real Avodah Zarah. So therefore, they really deserve to be punished. But because it was only Meirah, because they were afraid, so therefore, Hashem sort of got them afraid. And once they did Tshuva, Hashem was Meichel them. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, that we said, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it wasn't a real Avodah Zarah anyway. So why do they deserve to be punished at all? It was, all it was promoting the covered of Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, what's the kasha of the Talmidim? They asked, so why didn't they get punished? Why didn't they get punished? Because it wasn't a real Avodah Zarah. It's quite simple. That's why they weren't punished. What's the whole give and take here, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that it wasn't a real Avodah Zarah between the Talmidim and Rav Shimon ben Yochai? So one could say, to answer, that over here, when the Gemara says, when Rav Shimon ben Yochai told his Talmidim, Shishtachavu Letzelem, he wasn't talking about the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the Tzelem that Haman wore. Haman wore like a little thing around his neck, and he got ordered that everyone should bow down to, they have to bow down to this, to Haman. And when they were bowing down to Haman, they were bowing down to this Avodah Zarah. That's what Haman wanted. So therefore, could be according to Rabbeinu Tam, he could learn this Gemara. We're not talking about the Tselem of Nebuchadnezzar, we're talking over here about the Tselem of Haman. And so therefore, by Nebuchadnezzar, it wasn't an Avodah Zarah, they didn't do any punishment over there, but over here, that it was a real Avodah Zarah, so therefore, that's why they did deserve to be punished. But again, just because they did the Meirah, so therefore, Hashem gave them a chance to do Tshuva. But the Al Mefarshim wants to say, no, we can even learn, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that we're talking here about the Avodah Zarah by Nebuchadnezzar. So why? So, and we're even talking about the Avodah Zarah by Nebuchadnezzar, not by Haman. Let's, both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam will learn this Gemara, we're talking about the Avodah Tselem by Nebuchadnezzar. So then why, according to Rabbeinu Tam, do they deserve any type of punishment or anything? Why, what do you mean, why weren't they punished? It wasn't a real Avodah Zarah. So the Mefarshim explain here a little bit different. That, the Mefarshim explain that the Rav Shimon ben Yochai answered because they bowed down to the Tselem. The Talmidim, or Rav Shimon ben Yochai, they didn't understand that it wasn't a real Avodah Zarah. They thought it was a real Avodah Zarah. They thought, what do you mean? Nebuchadnezzar, that was a real Avodah Zarah. So they asked, V'chim masa panim yesh? So why weren't they punished? If it's a real Avodah Zarah, why weren't they punished? And this is exactly what Rav Shimon ben Yochai answered them. Heim lo also elo lifnim. And the Mefarshim explain, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that would mean that they only did it to give cover to Nebuchadnezzar. They wouldn't do it. What? I know you're thinking wrong, Rav Shimon ben Yochai said back to his Talmidim. You're thinking it was a real Avodah Zarah. That's wrong. It wasn't a real Avodah Zarah. What? All it was something to promote the greatness of Nebuchadnezzar. That's all it was. So Heim lo also el lifnim, all they did was to serve, it wasn't to serve Avodah Zarah, it was pasha to promote the gadlus of Nebuchadnezzar. So therefore, they shouldn't have done that, like we see by Hanan Shav Azariah. So therefore, over here, Avakash Shvog lo also imam el lifnim, Hashem also only did that to sort of get them a bit scared. Not that they would, in the entire, they wouldn't have been killed, but Hashem wanted them still to do tshuva from this type of thing. That's how the Mefarshim explained this Gemara, even according to Rabbeinu Tam. So now, someone asked before about how do we weigh up? When you have a mitzvah of the Chai Bohem, and on the other hand, you'll have a mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh, how is a person supposed to decide which one takes precedence? Yeah, which one is more important? How should you know which way to go? So, of course, we know that there are halachas, and there's, by the Gimel Aveis Chamuras, we know there's all levels and lots of halachas, the Fahesia, Betzina, or Gzeis Hashmad. We're not going now into all of the different, there's many, many halachas, how it all works. Let's just take a case where, let's just say there's no inyan to be Moisa Nefesh at all. You're allowed to be over this Avera. Let's say a person's got an Avera, he's allowed to be over this Avera. And a guy comes to him and says, if you don't do this Avera, then I'm going to shoot you. And let's just say the halacha is that it's preferable to be over the Avera than to let himself be killed. So we've got, so why? Because that'll be the V'chai Bahem, the mitzvah V'chai Bahem applies there. So now, there's a shayla. Is a person allowed to be machmi and say, no, I don't want to take on V'chai Bahem, I want to be Moisa Nefesh? Is a person allowed to do that? Because that's what we see over here, that's what Hanan and Shavazaria did. They had two things, they had the mitzvah V'chai Bahem, and on the other hand, they had the mitzvah Mesiras Nefesh. So, are you allowed to do such a thing? So this is really a machlokes v'shoinim. There's a Tosas in Avodah Zarah, the Chazayin on base. Tosas says there that yes, a person is allowed to do such a thing. If a person really wants, if he really feels that I want to be Moisa Nefesh, and forever, even, of course he wants to Kiddush Hashem, Kvod Shamayim, even if there is a mitzvah over here, V'chai Bahem, a person is allowed to decide, I know if he has a good reason why, whatever, he's allowed to decide, I want to be Moisa Nefesh. And this brings a raya from Yerushalmi, where we see someone Taka did that. He didn't have to be Moisa Nefesh, but that's what he still did. Taisa says a person is allowed to do that. The Rambam disagrees with this. The Rambam says that no, there's no way a person is allowed to do that. There's halachas. A person has to keep to the halachas. A person can't just start deciding, hey, now I want to be Moisa Nefesh. The Rambam says, Harizeh Mischaiv Benafshoi. If really the halacha is that he has to be over the Avera and he's not over the Avera, the Rambam says that's like committing suicide. And he doesn't get any recognition for that at all. So according to Tosfos, it's very geshmak, Hanan and Shavazaria were allowed to do that. But according to the Rambam, then how were Hanan and Shavazaria allowed to disregard the mitzvah of the V'chai Bahem just to sort of bring out Kavod Shamayim? The aggressor of Kavod Shamayim is to do the Rotzen Hashem. Over here there's a mitzvah of V'chai Bahem. So how were they allowed to do that? So there is a chinuch over here, and there's also a Namukah Yosef. They both explain, they both go according to the shita of the Rambam, that Harizem is Chai ben Nafshoi, but they do add on here something. And the Chinuch explains that in certain circumstances, he says, G'doyle Yisrael, greater tzaddikim, they are allowed to decide that over here we've got a special reason why we want to be Moisa Nefesh, even though really there's a mitzvah of the Chai Bahem over here. That in certain cases, that G'doyle Yisrael, as I said, the Chinuch, that big tzaddikim, they are allowed to decide, we prefer to be Moisa Nefesh than to go along and keep the mitzvah Chai Bahem. So of course, so normally, we've got to keep the halachas of Chai Bahem. But G'doyle Yisrael, and it brings many cases and examples where we see that G'doyle Yisrael were Moisa Nefesh, even though they could have kept the mitzvah of the Chai Bahem. So over here, just to finish off, we'll explain that why Hanani Moshe Azari, they did have a reason over here. That let's say, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, that it wasn't a real Avodah Zarah, but the Rishonim explained, the Ra'al says, there were people who thought it was a real Avodah Zarah. They thought it was really Avodah Zarah. So now Hanani Moshe Azari would have gone and bowed down to it, and they knew it wasn't. They knew it was just a Tzelem. If they would have bowed down to this, people would have said, ah, see, even the great Tzaddikim are bowing down, see, it's mutter to bow down to Avodah Zarah. So if Hanani Moshe Azari decided, okay, it's much better, we're going to disregard V'chai Bahem, and rather keep the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, because we don't want to Chas V'Shalom make anyone make mistakes, they're allowed to bow down. That was their line of reasoning over here. And according to Rashi as well, the Farshim explained, that people could be, don't know the difference between halacha b'fahesia, b'tzina, and if they hear about it, that Hanan Shah bow down to it, even though it was b'tzina, either Nuchanetz himself might not realize, and he'll be force him in other cases of even b'fahesia, but for whatever reason, so therefore, over here, that's a Hanan Moshav Azariah, they decided we're going to rather be Moisa Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem than to keep them, because they were G'dayla Eilam, that's what the Chinuch said, in certain circumstances, then they're allowed to do that. So the relationship gives us all care, even though Be'ez Hashem we should never have this type of nisoyin of dying al Kiddush Hashem, or Be'ez Hashem we should always be there to live a life of Kiddush Hashem in Magdal Kvod Shemayim wherever we go. Yeah. Thank you.
the other man that waited up
there. I mean.
Amen. 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 Am